Welcome to another edition of the 51%, Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. In 1985, hospice volunteer Ganga Stone paid a visit to a man dying of AIDS, a visit that had a profound impact on her life and subsequently on thousands of others. Too ill to cook for himself, Ganga prepared and delivered a meal on her next visit. But she felt the severity of the situation demanded something more than simply showing up with food. She researched his medical needs and subsequently brought a nutritional meal tailored to his specific treatment. And so Stone, along with Jane Best, founded God's Love We Deliver. In the 30 years since, this non-sectarian organization, which operates with a small but dedicated professional staff and thousands of volunteers, delivers 4,600 meals each weekday to clients who are too sick to shop or cook for themselves. Men, women, and children diagnosed with HIV/AIDS, cancer, MS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. They live in the five boroughs of New York City and in parts of New Jersey. All the services are provided free of charge, regardless of economic status. And to date, God's Love has provided more than 15 million meals. The person overseeing this amazing operation is my guest today. Karen Pearl, President and CEO, joined God's Love We Deliver in 2006, bringing with her more than 30 years of nonprofit leadership experience. During her tenure, Karen has, among other accomplishments, launched an advocacy program to ensure access to services for those in need, increased the number of volunteers to 8,000 with 1.2 million meals delivered a year. Before God's Love We Deliver, Karen served as interim president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Nassau County, Long Island, and was also the executive director of the Literary Assistance Center. So, Karen, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Pleasure to be here.
So why not take us through a typical day at God's Love We Deliver?
Sure. At God's Love, we start early in the morning because we have to get some food prepped and cooked and ready to go. So we start in the morning with our paid staff who come on in, fire up the ovens, get everything going. But our volunteers come early. They come around 6:30 in the morning. And they start the first shift of volunteers along with our staff. The volunteers are doing all the prep work. They're chopping vegetables. They're saucing meats. They're laying everything out.
And following recipes?
They're really not following the recipes. The paid chefs are mm-hmm. saying what they need to do. And throughout the day, until about 8 or 8:30 at night, we have volunteers in our kitchen who are doing every task but the cooking. So they're prepping, they're plating food, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they're sealing the food, and they're getting it all ready. Then on another part of our area, we have the delivery operation that gets started really early in the morning, where drivers who are paid mm-hmm. and volunteers together on a van load up a delivery route. And we have about 16 routes out every single day throughout the five boroughs of New York City and parts of New Jersey. And they then stop at individual people's homes and deliver meals, or they go to a center or a corporation or a synagogue or a church, and local volunteers come and then either drive or walk the food to individual people's homes. And then the back of all of that is we have a staff of people working with volunteers as well in client services who are welcoming clients to our program, a staff of registered dietitians who are doing nutrition assessments and reassessments and nutrition counseling and helping people understand what's going on with them and what meal will make most sense. All of our clients get at least lunch and dinner.
Every day.
For 5 days a week, some for 7 days a week, and we will be rolling out breakfast in the fall. But what's most important is that when I say everybody gets lunch and dinner, that can vary completely from person to person, because even two people with the same illness might have different situations. So somebody may have, let's say two people with cancer. Somebody may have cancer but also diabetes, or somebody may have cancer but have, for whatever reason, a really acid stomach and they can't have any kind of acidy foods. So they're both getting dinner. But the dinner could be really different, because our goal is to give people the meals that will help them to get as strong as they can. And we want them to eat it. So, of course, what we want to send are nutritionally sound, meals that will be easy for the person to eat.
So how many people a day, not meals a day, but how many clients do you have?
About 5,000 over the course of the year, and then about 25 or 2,600 at any given day.
And might some of these people comprise a family?
Yes. So one of the things we're really proud of is we recognize at God's Love that when somebody is sick, the whole family is affected. Mm. So if it's, for instance, a mother with children in the home, we feed the children special children's meals because what we want is for mom to eat her meal, not give it to the kids because
right.
she's too tired to get up and cook. And then we do the same thing with seniors and caregivers because senior caregivers also get really exhausted taking care of their loved ones. So we feed the senior caregiver to make sure that that person keeps their strength up while they're taking care of our primary client.
Are you the only game in town?
In New York City, we are the only.
I mean, there's nothing like you, is
right.
there? There are other organizations
unique.
That provide food, but to the degree that you do, right. it's mind-boggling that you have rosters, you know, and lists of Mrs. Jones gets this and Mr. Smith gets that.
I
mean,
right.
it must be mind-boggling.
Well, it would be mind-boggling if we had to keep it all in our heads. But we have a great system that has been developed over many, many years that we keep adapting as we change and as we grow. So we are growing every year, more clients, more complicated situations in terms of their health and their medicines and their side effects and all of that we take into account when we figure out the meals that they need. So we use a computer system that keeps track of each client, what that client needs and what restrictions that client has. And then it matches the least restrictive meal because we want people to have as much variety as they can.
Not to have the same lunch for 5 days in a row.
No, we don't want anybody to have the same lunch even 2 days in a row.
Yeah, right.
So because it's hard to eat when you don't feel well. We've all been there.
Yes,
even
we
if
have.
You had the flu for just one day, you know what it's like when you just do not feel like peeling yourself out of bed, much less going to the store, standing at the stove, washing the dishes. So imagine that's every day.
And is somebody checking up on that person to make sure he or she is, in fact,
sometimes
eating?
We're the only people who check up.
Wow.
Sometimes people who we serve, many of them, live alone, very isolated. They might live up a 5-story walk-up. They might just, you know, go out only to go to the doctor.
You know, it's so interesting that when this started in 85 and it was for HIV/AIDS, how did God's Love We Deliver morph?
It's a great story. So from 1985 until, I think 2000, we served people exclusively with HIV and AIDS. And it was one of those kind of light bulb moments when two things were happening at the same time. One was antiretrovirals were now helping people living with HIV and AIDS do better.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers weren't climbing. They were kind of leveling off. And the other was that light bulb moment of saying, we have learned so much about providing good food and healthy nutrition to people who are sick that we've been turning away people who call and saying, I know you're feeding my neighbor with AIDS, but my mom has cancer. Can you help? My mom has MS. Can you help?
Mm.
Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's. And it was one of those moments, I wasn't there yet, but where people said, how could God's Love not do this?
Right.
How could we not share everything we've learned? So then we've got into this wonderful learning cycle where what you learn perhaps in teaching somebody with advanced heart disease, we ended up using for people with HIV and AIDS because as they lived longer, they are now developing illnesses like heart disease.
Wow.
Every time we learn something new by providing the kind of services that we do to the clients we serve, we all get smarter. And we can apply that to everybody we work with.
And how does one become a client?
We like to say that it's pretty easy. So if somebody calls us and says, I'm sick, I'm hungry, I need help, we will put them on our program. No
questions
bureaucracy,
asked.
No mm-hmm. muss, no
mm-hmm.
fuss,
mm-hmm.
because we really believe that being sick and hungry is a crisis that demands an urgent response. So we're going to get you that meal right away. We'll do a little bit of an intake to make sure we're not sending you something.
The wrong food, yeah.
But then in the next week, you will have a full, the potential client will have a full nutrition assessment. And then we do require a note from a medical provider that tells us the person's illness and what activities of daily living they're having trouble with that translates into cannot shop and cook for themselves.
And if they can't, what does that mean to you?
So it means they can't stand, they can't carry, they can't lift, all the things. When you really think about what you do when you cook or when you shop, if they can't do those things, then, and they have a diagnosis, they're on our program. And every 6 months, we check back in with the medical provider to make sure that the person still needs our services, because we want to provide services to people who need us.
Does it often happen that somebody who has been a client of yours graduates?
Yeah. That has also changed over time. Early on, unfortunately, all of our clients passed away because there was not very much that was happening for people with HIV and AIDS. And once antiretrovirals came along, and then later when we expanded to serve people with all illnesses, we have sort of three groups of people. One is people still pass away from illness, and of course, we're always sad about that. The second is people get better, and they don't need us anymore.
Right.
And the third is some people who, either because of their illness or their medications, get better for a while, come off our program, then come back on. And that cycle sometimes repeats.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Karen Pearl. And by the way, what's in a name? Pearl, Jim, what you're doing? The president and CEO of God's Love We Deliver. Where does your operating budget come from? And how much does this cost to do on a yearly basis?
Our operating budget's about $12 million, so we get 1.2 million meals completely cooked from scratch, plated, and home-delivered for only $12 million. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Right? And in large part because we get so much time donated from our wonderful, wonderful volunteers. So where does it come from? It's a mix of a little bit of government money, largely for people with HIV and AIDS, a lot of private philanthropy from individuals.
You spend a lot of time fundraising, Karen?
I spend a fair amount of time fundraising, yes. And then corporations and foundations also support us. And then we get some resources from managed care companies who pay us to provide meals for the people who are members of that managed care.
And speaking of donations, I had read recently that the late Joan Rivers, who was quite a proponent of God's Love We Delivered, back in 2009 won the Celebrity Apprentice and handed over the $500,000 check
she
to you.
She did. Joan, who we, you know, miss terribly every day, Joan was an amazing ambassador for God's Love. And she worked hard for us. And Celebrity Apprentice was
really well, she rolled up her sleeves in addition to handing a, you know, a check over
absolutely
to you.
Absolutely. And she really did. It was hard, Celebrity Apprentice. And tended to be hard so that people misbehave because they get so exhausted and stressed. But Joan was terrific. I mean, she did every one of the challenges. She put her heart and soul into it, like she does for everything, or did for everything.
But it's not only the dollars that she handed over. She really was an integral volunteer.
Joan was. Joan was involved with God's Love for 25 years.
That's
she was on
great.
Our board for 20 years. And I like to say she was the real deal. She came to God's Love both ceremonially, like when we just had our groundbreaking for a new building. Joan was with us for that. But she also came and she worked in our kitchen. She went on deliveries. She got to know our clients. She liked to visit the same client every Thanksgiving so that she could see how they were doing, if they were still alive. So Joan knew what we did because she did it with us.
Right.
She didn't just come in and say, tell me three things and I'll say it into a camera.
Right? Right.
She knew what we did. She talked to our volunteers. She always made time to take a picture with whoever wanted a picture with her. People love Joan and we miss her.
When you say, and she conducted visits, when someone is delivering a meal, they're not basically dropping it off. They're hanging out, too, aren't they?
They sometimes hang out. Joan always hung out. Mm-hmm. Joan wanted to hear about the person's life. And
somehow
that
doesn't surprise me. Not that I'm a person, it was a personal friend of hers, but that seems to make a lot of sense.
And you know, Joan was the most hysterically funny person. So just this, not so many months ago, I did a delivery with her to some woman, and they were about the same age, and they started to share home remedies. and what they both do to keep themselves, you know, getting up every day in the morning and facing the day with a positive attitude. It was terrific. It brightens your day. Somebody knocks and says, God's love, we deliver. You open the door and it's Joan Rivers.
But also it's not just here's your dinner and I'm out of here. And I don't even mean in terms of her, but the people who are making the deliveries, that's your paid staff?
It is both a combination of paid staff and or volunteers.
So I might be matched up with a paid driver or whatever.
You could be.
And we could spend half an hour with you or—
Well, if you're matched up with a driver, that's usually for the day.
So if you're getting lunch and dinner, you're getting both meals at the same time.
Right. And sometimes you're getting food for more than one— most times you're getting food for more than one day. Because what has happened with medicine— this won't surprise any of your listeners, is most people have multiple doctor's appointments when you're that sick.
Right.
And it's very hard to be home consistently every day. So think about somebody on kidney dialysis, and they're going 3 days a week. So they can't be home 5 days a week to get meals.
Of course.
So we work with our clients to figure out the schedule that they can do around the rest of the lives that they have to lead to take care of themselves.
And while you deliver meals weekdays, is your operation not operating on Saturday and Sunday?
No, we're open on Sundays because we're prepping.
For the week ahead?
For the week ahead. So we're operating 6 days a week. And down the road, we might open on Saturdays. Who knows?
So I want to know how it came to be that you joined this organization.
So 2006, I had been working at Planned Parenthood for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
like it?
Loved every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
Flew by in no time.
I mean, that's a whole political animal in comparison to what you're doing now, right?
Yes. In that regard, it is very different. And I finished my term as the interim president of the national organization and sort of took a— what I didn't know how long it would be, but 2 months sabbatical. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And truthfully, I got a phone call from a headhunter who said, I have this great job. It's at God's Love We Deliver, which of course I knew God's Love We Deliver, having had friends, unfortunately, who had been clients. And she said, I think you'd be terrific. I think you'd love it. And I said, I don't know. I'm thinking still maybe something more national or international. I don't really. She said, just go for an interview. You haven't been on an interview at least in 11 years. Go for an interview.
Boy, right? It could be fun.
So I went for the interview and she called me back. She said, the board was very, very interested. The committee was very interested in you. I said, I don't know. I'm still thinking. She said, you know what? Just go to another interview. Anyway, started a little courtship where I ended up having private meetings with a number of the board members and just fell in love. Fell in love with the mission, fell in love with the people I met, fell in love with the challenge of what the board was presenting. It was an organization that was at its next inflection point. And the board said, if you want to grow the organization, we'll help. And every promise they made during that courtship, they have absolutely come through on.
What doubts, if any, did you have that this was just an area? I mean, of course, you've been a nonprofit your professional life, but did you think, I'm not worthy. I don't mean that. But it was, I don't know if I could do this. Or you never had any doubt about—
No, I didn't really have any doubt about could I do this. Because I had been a not-for-profit leader for a long time. It was more, was this the organization that would get to my heart? Because
you had a real commitment to Planned Parenthood, for example.
I had a real commitment to Planned Parenthood. I knew that before I even got involved.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I loved what God's Love did. It wasn't that. I just didn't know whether, because I didn't have any real experience, whether it would connect. And that's what that period of meeting with all the committee members did. It helped me to connect because I very much you have to love what you do in the not-for-profit sector. You just have to love it. And I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So that turned out to be terrific. And I just needed to be sure about that before I jumped into something, because I give, you know,
110%.
At least.
What have these last 8 years been like for you? And what have you done that hadn't been done before you showed up?
Yeah. So the last 8 years, first of all, have been lightning fast. It's like when the other day, my anniversary is in September, and I realized it was 8 years. And I said, is that really? I really had to do the math. Mm-hmm. It was so fast. So that's, to me, like the best
thing.
Endorsement.
Right.
So what have I done since? Before, a couple things. One is we really took what we're doing and took the essence of it, which is what we call now food is medicine, to integrate with everything that's going on in the rest of the world around the reform of healthcare, with the Affordable Care Act, what New York State is doing with Medicaid redesign. We have positioned food and nutrition as really a key to meeting the goals of healthcare reform. So there are three goals. One is better health outcomes. Second is lower health costs. And the third is greater patient satisfaction. And good quality food and nutrition that is designed for the person who's getting it absolutely catapults all three of those. Like, who doesn't enjoy a good meal delivered
really?
To their home
mm-hmm.
when what
mm-hmm.
they might eat is not so good and
right.
not so tasty? So they're very happy, mostly because it helps people stay in their home. And by staying in your home and not going to the hospital,
uh-huh.
you save mm-hmm. a ton of money to the healthcare system
mm-hmm.
while the person is much happier. And then better outcomes. I mean, we know that food results in better outcomes. We've known that from HIV forever, where people have become virally suppressed. All the research shows that people who get good food and nutrition have far better outcomes than people who don't. That's now showing, of course, in diabetes, heart disease. I mean, so many illnesses. Food really matters. So the whole focus on food is medicine is not only what we're doing at God's Love, but we're also leading a national advocacy effort of food and nutrition service providers around the country.
Who do what you do.
Who do similar, pretty much what we do, and who also are making, in their own communities, are aligning now with healthcare and with managed care companies or insurance companies.
Because the partnerships make so much sense.
They completely
Why
make
are
sense.
You should be working in tandem as opposed to in opposition.
Right. And it wasn't even so much that it was oppositional. It was more that it's just not in medical.
It's non-existent.
Right, exactly. It's not in consciousness.
Right.
And so once we share with people the research, the hard data about what food and nutrition impact is on people who are sick, they immediately say, like, oh, we should try this. So we are doing more and more with healthcare providers, whether it's hospitals or whether it's senior programs or insurance programs, because people are beginning to see that it helps them. It saves them costs. For $20 a day, you feed somebody at home.
Is that what the cost?
Yeah,
I was going to ask you that.
A day,
so
basically.
What's a meal?
So our
give
entrees
me an example.
Are, they all have a protein, whether that's chicken or beef, fish, pork or vegetarian. Those mm-hmm. are the five across the week. Then they have some kind of carbohydrate or starch, whether that's a rice, a potato, pasta, and then a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the entree is, and that counts as a meal. And then our second meal of the day is usually, although this varies depending upon who's getting it, but a whole grain roll, a soup that has often a protein in it, whether it's a bean or a meat or mm-hmm. whatever, a soup, and then a dessert. And we have a baker who's been with Joan. One of Joan's favorite people was Chuck, our baker. And he bakes with a lot of fruits and, you know, not very much sugar so that most people can have it. Not all, but most can have it. So that's sort of lunch and dinner. And then what we find when we talk to our clients, of course, is they mix it up
uh-huh.
however they want,
uh-huh.
however they want. And one of the advantages that we found in providing people with meals for more than one day at a time is it gives our clients the control over what they eat and when they want to eat it. rather than us saying, today, this is what you will have. Uh-huh. So they're like, if somebody comes out of a treatment and they're just like done, they're exhausted, they might just want soup that night. And maybe they want soup the next morning too, or lunch. And then they want their entrees because they're feeling a little stronger.
But are you checking up on some of your clients? Do you know whether or not I'm eating your meal?
Yeah, we do a couple of things. We do client satisfaction surveys all the time. And then when our nutritionists talk with our with clients, either for nutrition counseling or their reassessments, then we ask lots of questions about how much of the meal do you eat? You know, what do you like best? Because we want the food that we're delivering to the home to be what clients want to eat. It makes no sense for us to deliver food that people don't want to eat.
Right.
So we encourage every client to call us if something changes in their life. You know, they're on a new medication or they've changed treatment.
So there's a constant flux. It's
yes.
always a work in progress in a sense.
Always. As good nutrition ought to be. Otherwise, people, let's say, who are just, for instance, trying to lose weight and work with a nutritionist, why would they go more than once, right?
Sure.
Because as people's lives change, their nutritional needs change.
Right.
And we try to work with our clients around that.
What do you see in the future, for God's love? What's up your sleeve?
So we are rebuilding our home. It was about 18,000 square feet.
It's too small?
Way too small. We had stuff everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So we're in another 5 or 6 months, we'll be moving back into our home in Lower Manhattan. And then we will be in about 48,000 square feet.
Holy cow.
So we're going to have this fantastic kitchen with lots of ability to cook and bake and store food. Lots more room for volunteers so we can have even more people help, because we've built this building to serve over 2 million meals a year.
Wow.
So our goal is to keep reaching as deep into communities as we can to find people who are at home, who are often isolated because they're so sick, people don't know about them. Or their
wow.
doctor knows about them, but their doctor doesn't necessarily
make the connection.
It's the same thing. So we do a lot of education for the medical world about food as medicine. Include us in the care plan because your people will do better.
It just seems like a no-brainer. I'm stunned that you have to educate.
Well,
You're being diplomatic.
We
That's
do.
All right.
And we're happy to do it.
Are you shocked that the number of meals keeps growing as opposed to receding?
I'm not shocked. I'm a little amazed because when I joined God's Love, people thought that where we were going to be,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're double that now. But I think it's because we've done a really good job, and all of our staff gets credit for this, of getting the word out about what we do, why we do it, and the impact of what we do. It's our staff, it's our volunteers, our board members. So $20 a day, I want to come back to that for a minute. For $20 a day, you can feed somebody. If we help somebody stay out of the hospital for one night, which costs on average about $4,000.
Correct.
You can feed that person individually tailored meals for half a year.
It's crazy.
So it makes sense. Why not help people stay in their homes where they're happier and not go to the hospital or not go to the nursing home? Now, can you 100% prevent that? No.
Of course not.
No. But again, our research shows that even if people get hospitalized, those who have good nutritional levels and status stay less long in the hospital and come home more often than to nursing homes or rehab centers. So even if people do get hospitalized with good nutrition sort of as part of who they are, everybody benefits.
Believe it or not, we've run out of time. And it's a perfect way to end this conversation on an upbeat note like mm-hmm. this with everybody benefits.
Yes.
And to say the least, people will benefit from hearing your conversation. Karen Pearl, a gem. Join us for another edition of the 51% Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.
Thanks for listening to the 51% Conversations with Creative Women. For show comments and suggestions, please follow us on Twitter at Sandy Klein Show. You can also find us on Facebook at The 51% Conversations. The show is produced and recorded by Chad Dugatz at the Hangar Studios in New York City. Sandy Klein is our executive producer.